Gera can hit them. Did! Oh, what a goal by Zoltan Gera! And still Baptista, yes! It's Kabay! It's fantastic!
One from David Villa. Oh, great finish!
He's done just that, he scored! Juninho's done it!
Kubu making another glimpse of goal here! That is terrific!
Hello and welcome to the Streets Won't Forget podcast. I'm your host, Dan Mountney, and as always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-hosts. Two men who were planning to steal the unused replica Premier League title that was going to be given to Arsenal, but they couldn't because it was outside the jurisdiction of Birmingham police. It's Ben Woolley and Harry Martinez.
They're never going to not get shit on for this.
No, <they're...
laughs> I have nicked the champions arch.
Oh, good. I did see the photo of that going
around. I thought we could use it. I thought it'd be really good for when we get the drinkery duo, whoever does it the quickest, we can walk through the champions arch.
I really like that. Nice. Well, for a change, I've got Andy Kaz of the Week to hand out. And I think this is very deserving. And I actually don't know whether you or many people saw this. But it was during the Arsenal game against Everton at the weekend. Now, late on in the game, Arsenal got a free kick on the edge of the box that Zinchenko took quickly before the referee's whistle, and he tried to lob Jordan Pickford, who did manage to save it, tip it over the crossbar. And then the camera panned to Pickford, who was sat on the floor, and in a moment that can only be described as prime Jordan Pickford, he stuck up both middle fingers at Zinchenko. Which seems like a deserving quality. Andy Kaz of the Week winner.
Oh, Pickford is such an Andy Kaz kind of man.
He is an Andy Kaz person, isn't he? Like, I think he's won it three times now.
They're very much cut from the same cloth, aren't they?
He's just a shithouse, mate.
Yeah. The Northeast.
I do have to say, the Premier League missed out on the easiest Andy Kaz of the Week win of all time. If they would have just dished out a points deduction to Man City with about 5 minutes left
at full time.
Oh,
during the game.
Get the announcer, but he's doing the referees added 5 additional minutes and taken 10 points off.
Like, can you imagine the people on the radios? Like, if that had gone
down. Oh, people, you dial phone
the people
into
who
talk
are listening
sport,
in on the little portable radios.
You'll never guess what I just heard over the transistor radio. They kept banging on about transistor radios yesterday.
They are the best things.
How many years has it been?
Yeah, that's been too long.
Bring it back.
Bring them back. I think we should ban phones in the stadium. Only allow transitional radios in.
I was looking back at some of the results from earlier in the season. It felt like it was years ago.
This season has been a drag, I'm not going to lie.
It really has. You know why? Because it's done now. And looming on the horizon, we have the Euros to look forward to. Oh,
yeah. If only we had the Intertoto Cup looming, though. That's
let the cup die, mate. It's time for beer gardens. No,
he's only saying that because his country's not at the Euros.
Yeah, true.
Oh, fantastic. Well, there was obviously a winner of the Premier League, one that nobody wanted and they didn't deserve. But who won the Fantasy Premier League, Ben, far more importantly?
Well, it's been an interesting league. My dominance kind of fell off about a month after I said it, so I fully regret doing that. But it was surprisingly close with everyone except first.
Right.
Because in third place, we have Uncle TFC, who recorded a very respectable 2,233 points. We have a joint second place because Fiorentina Turner, excellent name, and the G-Men both finished on 2,338.
Ooh,
but
that's unbelievable. For a whole season, you end up on the same point.
A 96-point final week for the G-Men secured a joint second.
That's impressive. That's unbelievable.
But first place by a country margin with 24-41 goes to Ha Ha Land and James Farrow, who is our winner of not just the league but the cup competition as well. So congratulations on a very impressive double.
Yeah, we'll send the signed Kevin Prince boating shirt in the post next week.
We will.
We absolutely will not. I believe your prize is you get to choose a player to have inducted into the Streets Won't Forget.
Oh, we did agree on this.
Oh, yes, it was, yeah.
My shirt will be remaining in my wardrobe.
Yeah. We'll be in touch and you can put forward your player, James.
Most importantly, how did the boys do?
Oh,
not well.
I'm hoping for a European place, I'll be honest.
We didn't do too bad. Harry is the Manchester United of the three of us.
Of course.
Harry came in eighth place. You know what? It's not a million miles apart between us. Harry, you got 21.
Do you know the worst thing about that is I was miles down. I was about 17th at one point. I've had a really good run.
Yeah, you were definitely like 11th or 12th.
I was miles off, mate. I was below everyone.
But I tell you what, Dan, it was close between us.
Yeah, we were kind of neck and neck for a lot of the season when you dropped the running, down. Yeah.
We were competing for fifth place. You ended up getting 2,176 points, finishing in a very respectable sixth.
Aww.
However, I pipped you to the post of fifth, which is just a shambolic thing to say, by finishing two points ahead of you.
Two? No!
2 points.
No!
It came down
Where did I finish?
James, Joachim Anderson came off the bench for me.
Oh, you're taking
it. Got me 5 points to take it over
the line. Oh, word. Come on.
Did I finish in eighth?
You did, yes, mate.
I'm really disappointed by that, I'm going to be honest. It got to about like 10 games left of the season, and my hopes of finishing anywhere near the top three had faded, and I looked at you and thought, that's the target, fifth place. We were the Spurs. We were battling out for fifth.
Yeah.
The worst thing is, Dan, you were my target and I was fucking miles off. I thought Jean-Philippe Mateta was going to save me.
Oh, he did have a great final game, to be fair.
It's all right. In typical Arsenal fashion, I'll just say, we'll win it next year.
It's not fourth.
Disappointing.
You're bad Arsenal as well. You're not even top four.
Yeah, thanks,
Arsenal.
Mate. At least I'm not United. It could be worse.
Oy.
Well, back in September, boys, we made some Premier League predictions. Now, we looked at these kind of loosely earlier in the season. We didn't go into depth with them. But I think it's time we have a good laugh and look back on them in full, because some of these are awful. So, for winners of the Premier League, I went with my heart over my head and said Arsenal. I was close, nearly got there. But obviously, you both predicted it right with Man City. So well done on that one, boys. Good stuff.
That one does feel like the gimme, the cop easy out. Decision.
Yeah, that's the cop-out answer.
Yeah, it gets worse from here, don't worry.
There's no bold statements. There's no bold statements.
You get the early
here
on the
out,
board.
It is literally just, yeah, it's leg on the line. Let's try and go with something different.
Fairly certain I put Brighton in the top four, which is not a good start.
Well, you didn't put Brighton in the top four, but Harry did.
Oh, did I not?
Harry,
I did.
Harry, you had a shitter. Okay, you had City and Arsenal in the right spots. Then you had Spurs third and Brighton, who finished 11th, in fourth.
Oh, fucking hell,
Ben. We didn't do too bad, Ben. We had 3 for 4. So you went City, Arsenal, Spurs, Liverpool. Obviously, Spurs missed out, and Liverpool were in third, not fourth.
Mm.
And I had Liverpool in third and Spurs in fourth. So I had 3 of the 4.
Okay.
You had 3 of the 4.
And Spurs were fifth, so it's not like we were miles away.
God, that Spurs drop-off from the first 2 weeks is
amazing. Yeah, when they won the league in
September. Their two-week title charge was sensational. Go down in history, that.
We did not do very well on the rest of the European places. Ben, you and I went for Brighton, West Ham and Newcastle. One of the three. Harry, though, was even worse. Liverpool, United and Villa.
How is that worse? I got Villa up there and I got Liverpool.
Well, Liverpool were better than you said.
Villa were better
than
you
Villa.
Said.
But I've still got them in European places.
Come on. I think you're clutching at straws here.
overall, we've got the same amount of teams in European spots there.
I think we're going for net differences from our predictions, though. Brighton have sharpened.
Are you talking about net value now again?
Yeah, mate, we're getting into
net
stats.
Spend.
The nitty gritty.
Talking about net spend.
Well,
I want granular differences.
I'm going to be honest.
Allegri blood.
Who do you want next, blood? When we got to the relegated teams, I thought it was going to be a shoo-in for Luton, Burnley and Sheffield United. But you two idiots, not a chance. Harry, you went for Luton, Burnley and Everton. And Ben, you went for Luton, Everton and Sheffield United. I went for Burnley, Sheffield United and Luton. So I'm fairly pleased with that.
We had
2 out of 3.
To be fair, Everton should have been deducted more points for being Everton.
They should. And this will come up when we get to our awards later in the show.
Oh, okay.
See, Wooly and I were just hoping for the Goodison Boo that never happened.
Yeah. And you know what? I wanted some sort of repercussion for making us talk about them on that sodding holiday years ago.
Yeah, true.
I also said Sean Dyche should be the reason that Everton stayed up, so I feel like I've done pretty well there.
Jared Branthwaite was.
To be fair, he was class. Player of the year was obviously Phil Foden. Ben and I went for Haaland, which again, I don't think was a particularly bad shout. Harry, you went for Declan Rice, which again, I don't think was that bad of a shout, to be honest.
No. Yeah, he was nominated, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah.
Although I think Phil Foden's actually the wrong choice.
Well, we'll get to that with our end of season awards.
Yeah,
I've
also
given
it to someone other than Foden.
Oh, yes. Yes. We all went for Haaland as top scorer, which is obviously bang on, but the most predictable thing ever, even though he missed about half the season.
News, but in other news,
it was
the
quite
sky
close
is.
This year.
Yeah, but he missed about half the season, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
And he was also shit for like a third
of his
game.
I'm not saying why it was close, it just was close.
And then the interesting one was the first manager to be sacked. Ben and I both went for Poch. Harry, you actually didn't give a definitive answer in probably the most Harry move ever.
I think I said Paul Heckenberg.
No, you gave about four answers. You said Dyche, you said Poch, you said there was somebody else, and then you did say Paul Heckenbottom, but it was one of four answers you gave, so I'm not going to let you have that one.
I am kind of impressed.
Not even all four got sacked.
Well, actually, I think there needs to be an asterisk here, because it would have been Poch, but they couldn't afford to sack him without breaking FFP.
Oh, yeah.
He did actually turn it around a little bit.
I mean, they did get in Europe, to be fair, too.
Yeah,
sorry,
the end of it.
Sorry.
But there's no way he survives that run.
Cole Palmer got into Europe.
Let's
be honest. True. Well, not so good. Let's hope we can get our end of season awards ever so slightly better. We've got.
You know, I don't think we did too badly, though.
But no.
there was the only shocker, I'd say, was putting Brighton third or whatever it was Harry did.
Yeah. What was the thought process there?
I mean, they did look good at the end of last season.
Yeah, but then they lost.
And we were the Brighton podcast.
Well,
this
is true, yeah.
Do you know what it was? Solly March got injured. That's why they fell off.
And they'd also got like 200 million in sales, so.
Yeah. Now De Zerbi's gone. There's no Europe. It's all falling apart.
Yeah, we're officially. Who's the podcast now?
We're the Birmingham City Police podcast.
Weren't we Bolton or something like that?
God knows. We've been a lot of things. None of them have been good either.
Oh, dear. We haven't been a good podcast yet, that is true.
Well, let's hand out some of our prestigious end-of-season awards. These are far more important than anything the Premier League could give out. I'd argue even more important than the Ballon d'Or, which is never right, is it? So, right, we've got a number of categories. First up, Player of the Season. Now, we've established we've all disagreed with Phil Foden, possibly controversially. Ben, who have you gone for?
I have gone for the unsung hero of the title winners, and I've given it to Rodri.
Ooh, okay.
I think he's been pivotal in that midfield. I think did he not lose a game, or he lost like one game that he played or something like that?
He hasn't lost.
I don't think he's lost in about, is it like 60 or 70 games, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, Man City haven't lost a home game in 2 years, which is kind of nutty. But I think Rodri's playing that role that without him, that team can't play the way it does.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think it's about time he got some credit.
I think it's about time he did his ACL, to be honest.
Wait.
Okay, that's a good shout. I like that. Harry, I'm sure you're going to ruin it. Who have you got?
No, I'm exactly the same, Rodri.
How are you?
Mate, he's the reason they win the league.
He's Busquets too. Like,
when he doesn't play, they struggle to win. When he plays, they just walk over teams. And he pops up with a goal last season, Champions League final. This season, he pops up with a goal in the final game. Like, he's just a big-time player.
I think
he's unbelievable.
To be fair, yeah.
And he's only, what, is he 24, 25?
Yeah, he's mad young.
He doesn't like play like it 30. Either, yeah.
No, yeah, he's class.
Okay.
He's player of the season by a mile.
All right, fair enough. Well, I went down a slightly different avenue. I looked at the City team and I thought, there's not really been one standout player. They've all contributed in their own way. Maybe not Calvin Phillips, but...
he asked for West Ham.
I was torn between Cole Palmer and Martin Odegaard, but I went for Martin Odegaard. I think...
Oh, of course.
Buy it.
No, I think for... Look, it's difficult for me to not pick an Arsenal player because I feel like this season has been such a massive step for us, and I watch far more Arsenal games than I do any other team. But when you watch Arsenal when they play well, Odegaard is at the centre of everything. I think he took his game to another level this season. I think he was by far Arsenal's best player this season. So I'm going to give it to him.
I think he's
fair. Think I've tried his mentality is the reason you are succeed or like going up to the point of succeeding. Yeah. I just think his drive as a captain is what you've missed over the last, 10 years, 15 years?
I have tried to be as... I've tried to be as non-Arsenal as I can.
Yeah.
I think if we'd won the league, I'd have given it to Odegaard. But I think seeing as City won it, it's only fair enough.
Yeah. I'd say that. I really think it's the same with Arsenal as it is with City. I couldn't pick one player. I'd say Rice has been unbelievable.
Yeah, Saliba.
I mean, your back two Gabriel. Is unreal.
It was nice to just be in the title
It's not Gabby Jesus.
No, absolutely
it's not. Worst shot conversion percentage in the Premier League. Let's go.
If there was one for best sub, Leandro Trossard would be winning that every week. So,
well, I think by majority, Rodri is our player of the season. So congratulations to him. Nice to see him get some recognition.
He'll be delighted.
Yeah, we'll send it in the post. We'll get one of those shitty little trophies from Timpsons and we'll send that.
That's right, but we'll do him a word art certificate.
Oh, I'm sure he'd pin that up on his wall. Get it
I'll get the laminator.
I'd say we'll get it laminated for him.
Okay, next award, most improved player of the season. Now, I've got a feeling we'll have all gone for the same player, but I'd like to put mine forward first. Jean-Philippe Mateta.
Guy, he's got to be. The man's a god.
How has he gone from being pretty much crap to one of the most deadly strikers in the Prem?
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, he scored a hat-trick in the final game just to really cap off a fantastic year.
Yeah, he became the first Crystal Palace player to score a Premier League hat-trick at Selhurst Park.
Really? That's a mad stat.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he's just
I think
absolutely...
Dougie Friedman scored a hat-trick, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't think it was Premier League, though.
I think it was Prem, but it might have been away from home.
Yeah, God knows. But he's just completely turned around his Crystal Palace career. Like, I'm pretty sure there was talk about him leaving in January before Oliver Glasner came in. And now, like... They could flog him for £60 million. United would take a punt on that, wouldn't they? Come on.
he had 3 goals last season.
What? 3? Yeah, how many did he end on?
This season, he must have been on, 12?
And that was all probably in like the last 10 games, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you now. I think that if he had carried on his form from the start of the season, we would have been talking about Dominic Solanke.
I do have another shout for this as well.
Go on.
King Kai Havertz.
Oh, that's a great shout.
Because I think when we signed
him... He scored 16.
16?
That's a lot of goals. 16! I knew that. But I think
he scored 2 last season in the Prem and 5 the season before.
Goodness me.
That is clinical. Clinical.
He got 19 in all competitions this season. That's the most, apart from a season on loan in League
I think he's more than a deserving winner. I think Kai Havertz is a great shout because he went from £60 million down the drain to Kai Havertz scores again. So good on him.
Yeah, we're sitting there going, he's maybe even a shoo-in to start up front next season.
I still think we need a striker, but...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Solanke's a good
Ollie
shout
Watkins
as well.
In a bad shout.
I think Watkins, you maybe expect him to hit that kind of level at some point. Solanke, I think, is another one like Mateta where you look at him and think, well... Has he got, you know, like 15
You're not
or more goals
that,
in probably. Him? No, no.
The thing is, Solanke's been, like, at champ level, he was unbelievable. He's had good years, and he's been a decent player. Mateta just looked like an extra body on the pitch for most of his Crystal Palace career.
Yeah.
And now he looks unbelievable.
I'd also say...
And it's exactly the kind of performance that's going to get this big money move and he's going to flop next season.
Go send him to United. It's where he belongs. He's exactly the kind of player they'd sign.
He's the new Odion Ighalo, isn't he?
I'd also put forward Rodrigo Muniz from Fulham as well. Because he looked like he couldn't hit a barn door in the first half of the season. And then all of a sudden he's bagging in goals every week. So... yeah, I think, it has to be Mateta, right?
Yeah, it has to be Mateta. But
there could not be a more deserving winner. Right, manager of the season. I feel like we could have some debate over this one. Harry, who have you got?
I think for me, it's got to be Unai Emery. I think getting Villa into top 4 is just an unbelievable feat. And to do the double over Arsenal. Didn't they pick up a home win against Man City as well? Like,
oh, bastard. He ruined it. And it had to be him as well, didn't it?
He's been I think that Villa team, I saw him maybe, like I said, getting into Europe, but I didn't see him getting top four.
I mean, they were hanging out their arse at Selhurst Park on Sunday.
Yeah, they got battered 5-0. Yeah, for me, Unai Emery. I mean, I mentioned to Iraola as well, but
well,
Unai
it's
Emery
funny you say that, because I had Emery written down and then I've changed it to Andoni Iraola. Because I think people looked at Bournemouth at the start of the season. Obviously, they made the decision to get rid of Gary O'Neill and bring in Iraola, and not a lot of people knew who he was. There wasn't kind of much hype around him. And he's taken this team, with some clever signings, mind you, as well, and implemented this really fun style of football to watch and got results with it. They finished 10th, I think, in the end?
Yeah, I think I remember the first kind of 3 months of the season where they weren't getting results. But if you actually watch them play, you could see what he was trying to implement. Like, the football was there, just the players weren't quite rehearsed in it. And it's what he did at Vallecano beforehand. I mean, he beat Barcelona at the Nou Camp. He's obviously a decent coach and knows how he wants to play football.
He's turned Dom Solanke into the new Drogba. I mean, come on. Yeah, I think it's close between him and Emery. I'd also chuck Arteta and obviously Pep in there as well. But
isn't it mental though? Do you see that thing that Arteta, Iraola, and Emery are all born within like 20 miles?
Yeah, they're all born. Were they all born in the same city, or was it the same
town?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's close between the four of them. But I think Iraola deserves credit for maybe not achieving as big of things as the other three, but putting it into kind of perspective.
Yeah.
Ben, who have you got?
I've actually gone for someone completely different.
Oh, De Zerbi.
No, I was looking Glasgow. Further down the table.
Yeah,
and I've actually gone for Sean Dyche.
Ooh!
Because
I didn't see that coming.
You look at Everton, start of the season, end of last season, like, they were the most dogshit team in the Premier League. You watch them, we were sitting there going, they have no hope of staying up.
Yeah.
They were playing stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they get hit with a 10-point deduction. And that's a not inconsiderable amount of points when you're thinking, like, you're aiming for the magic 40. And I think Dyche galvanised this Everton team to not just keep them up, but he kept them up comfortably.
Yeah.
Like, if they get those 10 points back, they'd have finished 10th. Which,
yeah, since given that 10-point deduction, aren't they something like 7th in the league?
Yeah. I think he took an Everton team that was severely lacking in quality and gave
they
them
still
a
are.
Hope.
Did you see the stat about the defensive record?
Yeah, this is something I was going to say. Was one of my players of the season is from the Everton team, which I didn't expect. Because Jordan Pickford is only 3 clean sheets behind Raya.
Yeah, they conceded the 4th least goals in the league, which is
unbelievable,
isn't it?
Yeah.
This is just Sean Dyche footballing that. Like, no player in there would any other team want to buy necessarily. Maybe excluding the youngsters who were defensively sound. Like when he was at Burnley, he had Tarkowski.
Yeah.
You know, people wanted to sign him. But if you look at the rest of the team, you'd be hard-pressed to find a top team that would buy any of those players.
Yeah, I think you'd probably look at Branthwaite and Onana are the two that might get a big move. But
yeah, Branthwaite, Onana and Pickford.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think given the dire straits Everton were in, I think it's a very impressive job.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm happy to give it a short dodge.
I mean, as a Streets Won't Forget podcast, I think it is about
all right. Okay,
the lower
way.
Sean Dyche, manager of the season. Congratulations, Big Sean. We'll send you a plate of worms in the post.
There's a bowl of gravel coming our way.
A plate of worms.
Yeah, what was the story about? He used to eat worms. Yeah,
yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. The big slug,
Hello, man. Right, goal of the season next.
Ooh.
I think it's between two overhead kicks for me.
Oh, okay. The Antony one, I think, is the goal that people think Wayne Rooney scored.
You mean Garnacho?
Yeah, sorry, that one.
Antony can't score if it's 6 yards.
Antony's further down my list. That's what I'm seeing his name.
He's got one goal and he was falling over as he hit it.
But I didn't go for an overhead kick.
Oh, yeah.
I went for the December goal of the month, which was Alexis McAllister versus Fulham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good strike, that.
His outside of the box. Oh, it's a beaut.
It is a good strike, that. However, the situation around the Garnacho goal makes it even better. The fact that It's the first home game at Goodison since the points deduction. Yeah, the whole crowd have got all the banners up saying, you know, fuck the Premier League, all this kind of stuff. And he just goes and whips a fucking bicycle kick in and the crowd
It was
silence.
The most Everton thing that could have happened.
And it is an unbelievable goal. Unbelievable.
For the narrative alone, it's so good.
100%.
I do think the Kudus one on Sunday was very good, but I think Garnacho's just pips it. So
he's been
Kudus has had a lot of good goals.
He's been a class player, kind of flown under the radar a little bit, but he's been sensational.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see him getting a move, to be honest. But yeah, are we going for Garnacho then?
Yeah, I think it's deserving, especially after giving the manager of the season to Everton.
We'll share around the awards, around the shitters. Congratulations. Talking of shitters.
It was from that moment on that Everton got better, really, wasn't it?
Garnacho inspired the comeback.
They should have. They were on top in that game as well. They should have at least got a draw out of that, and they didn't score a single
goal. I simply refuse to believe that Man United played a game this season where they weren't on top. Come on.
That's true. I mean, they got like the third highest stat for goals for shots conceded in the entirety
of
the Premier
League.
Yeah, so
I think it was they conceded 20 or more shots in a game like 12 times.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We'll come to Man United shortly. I'm sure a few of their players will be getting nominated for some awards. The first up, flop of the season for worst player in the Premier League. I've gone for Casemiro. I genuinely can't think of a good performance he put in.
Yeah, he was running through custard.
Especially with all this talk before the season, you know, about Caicedo, about Rice. And United fans were giving it large about how they've got Casemiro. And then he dropped the most dog shit performance.
There's so many you could nominate there. Like Varane, I know he's been injured, but when he came back, he was arguably worse in the team than anyone you could have put in there.
It's something
the
about
fact
Man
their
United,
sign of the season is going to be Johnny Evans.
Yeah, that one against the performance against Crystal Palace the other week might be one of the like worst disaster classes I've ever seen on a football pitch.
Oh,
that was so
spectacular.
Bad.
Spectacular. It's like watching a car crash.
So bad.
Even the one against Arsenal minutes. The other week where they gave the ball away and he was about 15 yards behind everybody else.
He's awful. The dreaded phrase for a footballer is his legs have gone.
His legs have absolutely gone, yeah.
The problem is he's no longer in a team where he doesn't need legs. You know, he's in a team where he is supposed to be the legs.
It's like,
and he has not got it.
United are trying to build a Galacticos side, but they're trying to do it with the players who have just left the Galacticos.
Yeah, they're doing it with players that are fitted to the system and not the players. Like, the player obviously is monumental talent, but they've spent so long in a system where they do their job and everyone else does their job. They've just shoehorned them into a team where no one does their job.
Yeah, and they're signing the monumental talents when they're on the downhill. They're on the way down on the slope.
Yeah.
I'd also like to give a shout out.
I mean, Anthony's got to be flop of the season for me. Anthony has been absolutely shocking.
I'd also like to give a shout out to Calvin Phillips and both of Burnley's goalkeepers.
Calvin Phillips is a great shout.
If we're talking maybe not worst player, but biggest disappointment, because I think these are separate things, because I had something that would fit with that.
Go on.
I mean, obviously, VAR is dog shit, but that's not a player. Perhaps controversially, I've got Gvardiol down as a disappointing signing.
What? You've been insane.
That's really interesting.
Because
I think he's been class.
Nah, because there's a reason for it. So obviously he cost him 78 million quid. The hype around him was insane. We were expecting one of the best centre-halves we've ever seen. Then Pep came out and said he's not good enough to play down the middle. So they end up shoving him out left. And obviously he's been sensational passing-wise, but he's in a Pep team. Of course you are. I looked up his stats, and as a defender, he's been unbelievably mid.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to defend.
He's not playing that role to be a defender.
I think if you're spending nearly 80 million quid, probably over that, on a player, for your manager to then come out the season you sign him and say he's not really good enough for what we wanted him for. I don't think he's necessarily been bad. I think disappointing.
Right.
I'd argue after the first 2 months that Jeremy Doku was more disappointing.
I mean, that's a complete
issue. There is a reason why I've started calling him Jeremy Doku. He's fucking awful.
He had 2 good months and then he was dog.
Honestly,
I think it stands out even more because we thought the City era of dog shit signings was done.
They binned off Cole Palmer for that. Are you serious?
Yeah.
He is shit. He's like a more dribbly Adama Traore.
Which is impressive because it's the only thing Adama Traore could do.
Yeah, he's crap.
Also, I would say biggest disappointment is Enzo Fernandez.
I mean, you could put half the Chelsea players in there, to be fair.
Yeah, but Enzo Fernandez has been woeful.
Does anyone outside of Chelsea fans rate him?
No.
I've never heard someone who doesn't support Chelsea go, this is a world-class player.
Oh, what? It's a bit of a weird shout considering what he's done this season, but Mohamed Salah has been a little bit wank.
After about February, he fell off a cliff.
After AFCON.
Yeah. And then he just falls out with Klopp because he wants to go and get paid £1 billion to play in Dubai.
Let's send him there now.
Yeah.
Darwin Nunes is up there as well. He was fucking shite again.
He's never been good, though. He can't disappoint you if your expectations are already in the toilet.
Fuck me, man.
It's so great seeing him in a lineup, though, because you're like, I don't know what I'm going to get out of him. He could score an absolute screamer and miss one off the goal line. Like, the duality of the man is unbelievable.
Did you see he's the only player I can think of that can score like a 10 out of 10 goal in a 3 out of 10 performance.
Yeah.
Do you know what he is? He's a pro club striker. He misses the easy chances.
He is.
And then bangs in the screen.
Oh,
that's class. That's what he is. Did you see the underperformed XG table?
Oh, here we go. It's got to be him and Gabby Jesus up top.
No. Jesus was high up the list. I think Jesus was like -4 under what he should have got. At the top, it was Nunes and Calvert-Lewin with like -6.
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear.
Which says it all, really.
And he probably got 3 of those in that Chelsea game.
Also, Nicholas Jacks as well. I don't care how many goals he scored. He's fucking crap.
Oh, God, yeah. He's dog.
He scored 12, 14 goals, something like that.
Yeah,
and didn't he get 5 against Spurs?
Yeah,
and 9
yeah, it's because he's playing against fucking 9 men. They're on the halfway line.
I'm pretty sure he scored 14 goals, but it took him 900 shots or something to get there. Like, it's ridiculous.
We could have run him behind that defense. That's how high it was.
That was like Victor Moses became the first person in history to have 100 shots in a Premier League and not score a goal.
Oh, nice.
He's the human embodiment of just let him shoot.
While we're on the topic of shitters, who was the worst signing of the season?
I put two answers as a bit of a cop-out because I put Dan Juma for the memes of refusing to sign for Everton, then actually signing for them and playing like shit. But my worst signing, I put Mason Mount.
I also put Mason Mount.
Oh, that's a good
shout. 60 million quid for that.
I don't remember him playing a game.
I think I have vague memories of like the most dog shit 30-minute cameo, and that was about it.
Yeah.
Apparently he played 16 games, and I remember not a single one of them.
Mine is actually because it didn't benefit either side, so it's a bad signing on both behalves. I've gone with Sander Berg.
Yeah. It's one of those
like they
I
let
don't
him
know how
go.
Much I expected from it.
Yeah, but they let him go and he was the main player that could have potentially, you know, given him something to stay up. And then it didn't benefit Burnley either. So,
well, it's funny you say that.
I can understand selling all round. Because I think if you hang on to him, you probably go down anyway. Mm. And then you're selling him for less because you've been relegated. So I can see the sense.
But at least you've had a go.
Yeah.
It's funny you say he was bad for Burnley. So BBC Sport did a big article on the player of the season for each club, and a fan from like each respective club put forward 4 players. And Sander Berg was one of the 4 players and then got voted Burnley's player of the season, which is either a reflection.
I did not think he'd been
that's
good.
That's either a reflection on your takes on football or how shit Burnley are. And I think I know which one it is.
It's how shit Burnley are.
Has anyone been good for Burnley? That is a genuine question.
No.
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 Lyle Foster, and that was about it.
Oh, who's that winger they got?
Older Bear, right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's all right.
Well, I think Mason Mount and Casemiro winning the last 2 awards says it all about United season, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When two of your 3 starting midfielders.
Your biggest, highest profile signing of the summer was rated the worst.
Yeah. What about best signing?
Oh, this is easy for me, I think. Bias not put aside, it's Rice.
I've also got Declan Rice.
How can 100 million be a bargain?
Yeah.
He's been fantastic. I don't think there's a team in the Premier League that wouldn't spend that on him.
Yeah, I think he is one of the key reasons why we stepped up to that next level of being there on the last day. Like, he made an world of difference.
And it's nice that he very quickly put to bed this pointless fucking argument about him and Caicedo.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to hear Caicedo's name in the same breath again.
The thing about Rice is as well, he's like modified his game as well. We always looked at him as this kind of defensive midfielder who sat there and broke up play. But he's developed his game so much. Like I think he's got more goals and assists this season than he has in any other Premier League season. Like, he's proved he can do it going the other way as well. He's suddenly started taking set pieces as well, which I never saw him doing.
Yeah. He took like 5 minutes to adapt to the Arteta system. Yeah. I think he's a shoo-in for England. Easy team of the season shout. Like,
£105 million
money's
well
made
spent.
Back already.
Yeah.
Yeah, give him an extra 20 just because I feel bad.
What, 20 quid or 20 million?
I'll give him 20 quid. Arsenal could make up the rest.
Harry,
can we put Oliver Glasner through as a signing or not?
Ooh. I'd say no, but he's a good shout.
Yeah, he has been pretty unbelievable. Actually, for me, sign of the season is Cole Palmer.
Oh, yeah, true. I still think Rice has, just taken Arsenal to another level. But
they would probably be relegated without Cole Palmer.
This is true.
Although, it's a great signing.
£35 million.
It's a great signing, but it does just make the rest of their business stand out for being shit. It's like, he should be... They spent, what, 100 million quid? They've got £1 billion squad. Why is the 30 million guy keeping you up?
Adam Wharton as well. Great signing, by the way, for Palace.
Yeah. Yeah, Adam Wharton's been
That was only January, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was January.
So, to make the impact he's done in 6 months is incredible. Right, we'll go on to the more jokey awards now. We've handed out the serious ones. Shit House of the Season. Who are we going for?
Ooh, I've got a recent convert to the dark arts.
Oh yeah,
at least I've only really noticed it since he started playing for us. I've gone for Ben White.
I've also gone for Ben White. Top tier shit.
His thing the other day, trying to undo the goalie's gloves. Fantastic.
He, as you say, he is slowly mastering the darkest of the arts when it comes to shithousery. Like, it's subtle things he's doing. Vardy's like Jamie Vardy's the kind of in your face shithouse, whereas Ben White is the subtleties.
I like that his shithousery isn't restricted to players, though. Like, he riles up fans as well by just being like, yeah, I don't like football. What of it?
Riles up Gareth Southgate and Steve Holland. Fuck him.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
I did love Morgan Gibbs-White home and away just abusing the Wolves fans when they probably had no problem with him leaving. And yeah, he's gone and just given him all the shit.
Yeah.
That does feel very one-sided, that, doesn't it?
Yeah, Pickford's always got to be in contention, but I think Ben White has taken it to a new level for him personally this season.
Yeah, most improved shit house. TikTok is filled with montages of him just being a shithouse.
You say most improved shithouse?
Yeah, mate. Because it's always Pickford. Like, Pickford's just the GOAT.
Yeah.
He's him. But Ben White, he's learning. I'm proud of him.
Well, we might not have won the league, but at least we've got the Premier League's best shithouse.
We're cleaning up these awards, you know. It's almost like two of us are Arsenal fans.
Yeah, Gabriel has been a bit of a shithouse as well, true, with what he was doing with Richarlison, and then obviously playing, who was it? He played one of the defenders, he just kept pushing him back so someone was onside to score. That is unbelievable.
The Richarlison thing was one of my funniest moments of the season. It's not
was
the
it
winner.
Spurs?
Possibly, yeah. God knows.
Was it Liverpool?
Oh, I can't remember. Right, quote of the season. I've gone for a simple one, and it was Erik ten Hag, who just said yes when asked if he believes Man United, who dropped from third to eighth, recorded their lowest ever Premier League finish and with a negative goal difference, had improved. I genuinely think he might be losing his mind. Like, the past few weeks...
He would have had the United job.
Yeah. Like, he keeps banging on about that Arsenal game right at the start of the season. Like, mate, that was, what, 7 months ago?
Thank God they only, you know, if they played one Premier League game a season, he'd be so right. But unfortunately, we play an extra 37 after that, so...
Oh, fuck, actually, boys, going back to Shithouse, I've got something for you here that's a little bit of a fat corner and ties in quite nicely with Shithouse. So, Sean Dyche ends the season in style, right? He turned the Arsenal team around to make it 12 out of the 19 Premier League away games this season in which he has won the coin toss and chosen to swap sides.
That's
what a man.
Subtle shithousery.
What a man.
Oh, Sean Dyche, what a man. Have we got any other quote of the seasons?
I'm 90% certain it's from this season, but it could be so long ago that it's not. It's James Maddison for me.
Oh, yeah.
The I want to be the main man of the roast
the
dinner.
Roast dinner.
Yeah, the 100%. Roast dinner. Oh.
What the fuck does it mean? No one knows.
I want to be the main man at the roast dinner.
He's the one carving the meat, 100%.
That's he's nicking all the gravy from the gravy boat.
He's telling your dad he can't have any more Yorkshire puddings. You fucking put that down.
He's dishing it up and he's making sure he's got one more extra pig in blanket than everybody else.
He goes to the Toby Carvery and he's telling the big man carving the meat, like, I want one of each. I want a bigger slice than that.
More.
Oh, what did you see that one the other day where someone had lip read what Leon Bailey was saying to Ollie Watkins when he didn't square it to him?
No.
And it's just Jamaican slang just being shouted at him. Like, how many times, Ollie, do I have to tell you to Bumba Clark pass?
Oh, that's so really good.
Oh, was it this season when Peter Drury said the fucking the Bumba Clark phrase as well?
No, he's clarted it.
Oh, he's clarted it. That was it, yeah.
That was last season.
No, that was this season.
I'd love to know.
That was this season.
Season's gone on forever.
It really has dragged.
I'd love to know. I reckon one of the quotes of the season could be whatever Ange said to that fan behind the dugout.
Oh, yeah. Ange is another one who's fucking lost his mind in the past week or so.
I do kind of feel bad because after that Spurs City game, the man looked distraught. Like, well, he's just learnt what Spurs fans are really like.
Well, it's funny you say that.
You saw Spurs fans celebrate
apparently,
it.
You know, he said something along the lines of, oh, the last 24 hours have proven to me how fragile the club is, both inside and out.
Yeah.
His coaching team were telling him to play the reserves and throw the game. His fucking coaching staff.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's a sacking.
Yeah, 100%.
That's so bad.
If I'm the manager and my own people in my own club are coming to me like, fuck the fans. Fans are morons of every club. If my own staff are coming to me going, lose the game, that's it.
Yeah,
contract is done there.
And then the Spurs fans offered him out a meeting to explain the rivalry between Spurs and Arsenal. Like, how fucking condescending.
I don't give
the guy's fucking managed Celtic, you morons. I think he understands a rivalry.
He just, like,
yeah.
I just don't get it. It's such small club mentality. Like, come on. Fuck me.
On top of that, when was it that Daniel Levy agreed to get a trip to Australia sorted 3 hours after their last kickoff?
Wait, what?
Have you seen that? They got on a flight. So 3 hours after the final game of the season, they got on a flight to Australia and are currently going to do a tour of Australia playing friendlies. Like now.
Yeah, work them harder. They didn't do a fucking enough for us, did they?
It is just such an alien concept, isn't it? But like, I can't imagine rooting for Spurs in any context. I can't imagine wanting my own team to lose.
To lose?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Not even that, but be embarrassed by City at home.
Yeah. Especially when you've got Champions League football on the line.
Yeah.
It'd be like,
stupid.
I don't care what's, but like when they finished above us, I'm like, I don't give a shit what they're doing. I care about what my club's doing.
Yeah, I don't get people who view their rivals and see it as a more important thing that's happening. I could not give a shit.
The only time Spurs matter to me are when we're playing them in the derby.
Oh, when you're playing them, exactly, yeah.
Poor old Ange.
Baffling. He deserves better,
I think,
mate.
Ange, maybe, for quote of the season, might be that. Because now knowing that the fucking staff was telling him to lose.
Good on. It's the only thing Ange is ever going to win a Spurs boss, so congratulations to him.
Devastated that it couldn't be the ill or nothing documentary this year, though. Because imagine his team talks before that.
Right, final award.
Saying that, we do get Liverpool.
Oh, yeah, true. We might actually find out what Salah and Klopp are fucking scrapping about. final award, funniest moment of the season. I've gone for Chelsea's players fighting over a penalty against West Ham when they were 4-0 up.
That is sensational. It's such a schoolyard, like
it really
a bunch
is.
Of 12-year-olds fighting over it. Because your 20-year-old isn't there to do it.
The funny part is it's Jackson and Madueke trying to scrap Cole Palmer, who has been carrying them all season. Let the man do what he wants.
Yeah, 100%. I did go for a different one.
Oh, yeah.
I've put, from the Man United-Arsenal game, Anthony's like locked-in face he did on the side.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
And he then proceeded to drop. The highest rating I could find for him, and I looked around, was a 5 out of 10. My man did this like, I am the main character face.
Anthony had a few funny moments. Did you see the thing about the photographer?
Yeah, the photographer. He's been there every week to take a picture of him scoring.
So Anthony hires his own personal photographer to take photos of him, and he's just been dragging him around the country for the past 18 months. And then the photo he took was with a Sonic the Hedgehog to pay tribute to his son. Your son's embarrassed.
That photographer's had to get on a train from wherever he is to wherever they're going with a fucking Sonic teddy in his bag every week.
You've fuck also got to be some kind of mates with Anthony, which I can imagine is a fucking horrific task.
Hey, can you start a fundraiser for this guy or something? He deserves it. A little GoFundMe.
Get him out, man. Fucking poor son.
Well, I don't know what salary he's paying him, but we're offering more money to just not do it.
That would tickle me because the aggression in his voice, he truly thinks that that is the worst thing that can happen to a man,
Anthony,
is to be
man.
A friend with that.
Fuck him. I fucking hate him.
I can't imagine having that little self-awareness.
I've got some other moments that might tickle you. Do you remember the City-Chelsea game, that crazy
the
game?
The 4-all. Yeah. That was my game of the season. That.
Yeah.
Where Cole Palmer walks over to the City squad as they're taking a free kick and just tries to be a part of their tactics. None of them notice.
The man has learned until Haaland pushes him away.
Yep.
God, that's a spiritual successor I did not see coming.
Andre Onana's karma after conceding one of the worst goals of all time is pretty good as well.
I love his like calm down thing, yeah.
Have you seen what they've called the Anthony face, Wally? They've called it the no more Mr. Nice Guy stare.
It is. It's like that bit in the movie where they do a close-up on him and they'd be like, oh, you don't want to rile him up. You don't know what's coming now. And then he just drops a 5 out of 10. Okay, bro.
Enzo Fernandez showing the Chelsea logo to Mason Mount as though they aren't both the mid of mids. You know,
the midfielders.
Do you really want him back?
I'm pretty sure United would happily give him back.
Yeah, that's true.
I do think.
Yeah, there's been some funny moments.
The Richarlison getting embarrassed one is also up there for me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a weekly occurrence for Richarlison.
Yeah.
So.
Poor old Brazil with those two fucking idiots up front.
And I mean, from a media point of view, every time Man United got battered and Mark Goldbridge highlights were up, they were just superb.
I can't believe I'm saying his takes recently haven't actually been too bad.
Apart from keeping Ten Hag, that's pretty dire.
I mean, there's also not much you can do with that team or that.
I'm on board with that.
To be fair,
keep Erik ten Hag. I'm all for
keep
it. Yeah, keep him. He's a hero.
They've taken over the mantle of social experiment into how much suffering a human being can endure.
It will be glorious if they get Gareth Southgate, though. I just see that as a monumental failure.
It would be glorious because he wouldn't be fucking managing England anymore.
You can imagine they get Ten Hag.
We slandered Gareth Southgate enough last week. Let's leave him out. Finally,
which is bad because I'm also really looking forward to the Euro.
Yeah. You'll lay him out, the fucking tosser.
Finally, our team of the season. I'll quickly run you through mine, and then we'll go through yours in a 4-2-3-1 formation. I've gone for Pickford, White, Saliba, Gabriel, Guardiola, which I know you're going to disagree with, Ben.
Yeah.
There've been no good left backs. I'm sorry, they've all been shit.
I think there's been one.
Okay, we'll come to that shortly. The two in front of the defence, I've gone for Rice and Rodri. Then I've gone for a three of Palmer, Odegaard, and Foden. Then I've gone for Ollie Watkins up front.
That is my exact team, apart from the left back.
Ooh, okay.
I think I'd agree with all of those. Watkins has the same goal contributions as Haaland this season, which is sensational. They're both on 32.
Haaland's just been a bit dog, hasn't he?
Yeah, which is it's shocking that we're like, well, Watkins has been great. He's been as good as Haaland in a bad year.
The thing is, this might be controversial. Haaland's a great goal scorer, but in terms of footballing ability, he's a bit shit.
He's rapid, he's massive, and he can score. He can do fuck all else. But then again, what else do you want him to do?
So who have you got as your left back?
I did a little bit of digging because I was like, who has been good? I wanted an actual left back because I don't agree with this. We'll just play like four centre backs. Fuck it. And Anthony Robinson has been statistically an outstanding left back this year.
Okay.
Flown under the radar, obviously, being at Fulham. But no player has more interceptions, blocks, tackles than him as a left back.
Oh, wow.
And I think he's put in an incredible shift and I think deserves a bit of recognition for it.
Fair enough. I don't think
Guardiola's been bad. I think he's been disappointing for the player they expected him to be.
Yeah, okay. Robinson's a great show. I like that. Harry, who have you got in your
team? I was torn between Pickford and Martinez, but I think Pickford wins that as well.
4-3-3.
Right.
Pickford, White, Akanji, Saliba, and at left back, I've got Tyreek Mitchell. I think he'd been unbelievable.
What have you been smoking? Fucking Christ.
Mate, Tyreek Mitchell hasn't been driven past this season. He hasn't lost a... Yeah, I think Akanji's been class.
Akanji,
mate, yeah. I think Akanji's been class.
For any listener who'd like to be the third member of this podcast, we'll be sticking up an advert next week. Keep an eye out for that.
I could entertain the Tyreek Mitchell shout. I think Robinson's been better, but I don't think that's necessarily bad. No centre backs in this season have been better than Saliba and Gabriel.
Yeah, I didn't want a three of Arsenal's back four.
You mean the best defence in the league?
I've tried not to be so circulated around top four teams. And that.
So hang on,
Wooly. I thought you had an Everton player in your back four.
No, I said I got Pickford in goal.
I thought you were going to have
players from lower down on the table. So what you've done is you've picked a Norwich version of the team of the season.
You've done a best of the rest team of the season, which I can respect, but it's just not the team of the season.
I've got Rodri, Foden, Palmer.
He's gone for best of the rest by picking a Kanji from Manchester City.
And then I've got Bowen, Watkins, and I've got Saka as well.
So Declan Rice as the best signing of the league doesn't make your team of the season?
Yes.
You're a mate. Right, I've had enough. That's the end of the awards.
Rodri's better.
Thank you for joining us.
Rodri's been better or off
your tits. It's Monday. Have you been drinking again?
I wish.
Oh, you know whose team of the season this is? This is Garth Crooks' team of the season.
No, it can't because he's played 4-3-3.
Oh, that's true. It's not like a 1-7-4 with all of them being centre forwards.
So you went 4-2-3-1?
Yes.
Yeah. I just had 4-3-3.
Okay. Well.
And then in that case, I can get Foden and Palmer both in.
I've got Foden and Palmer in as well.
As have I.
I could put Foden. I could put Foden in instead of Saka and put Rice in.
Was Odegaard in your team?
No.
Jesus.
Right, that's enough of you. let's move on to an end of episode quiz. We've got a different one this week. We are playing Pointless. I've got 5 football questions for you, and the rules are pretty simple. Most obscure answer wins. Now, to be clear, these are questions and point values that I've come up with myself. So what I believe are the most obscure and unobscure answers. They are not from the official Pointless Game Show. Okay?
Okay, so we've got to think like Daniel, not like the rest of the public.
Right, because if there is one thing Harry's good at, it's obscure and pointless football facts.
Well, you should have an advantage on the first question. The first question is players who were included in England's 2006 World Cup squad. Ben, because you gave a far better team of the season, I'll let you go first.
Ooh.
Just because he had more Arsenal players.
No, just because he had more sense.
Okay. The 2006 team, yeah?
Yes.
See, that's not going to be pointless, though, is it?
Because he set the point values.
I'm going to just try and say something fucking weird.
Have you got an answer, Ben?
I'm going to go... it's known that you've set them. Fuck. Okay, I'm going to go with Paul Robinson.
Paul Robinson is a correct answer. He scored 10.
Oh, okay.
Good start. Okay. The way we'll do this is to decide a winner is we'll total up the values at the end.
That makes sense.
Harry.
I will have...
Go on, say Theo Walcott.
No, I... I'm going to go with... Oh, I might go a bit safer. I'll have Owen Hargreaves.
Owen Hargreaves.
I was waiting for David Beckham.
David Beckham would have scored you 76. He is the highest one I've got.
Only 76?
Owen Hargreaves is a correct answer. And the value is going down all the way to 18.
Ooh.
I'll take that. I was going to say Stuart Downing, but I don't think he's...
Stuart Downing would have scored you 3.
Ooh.
Oh, no way.
Well, who would have pointless answers?
The point that there are pointless answers for every question. There were 2 pointless answers for this. Scott Carson and Aaron Lennon.
Oh, of course, Scott
I was thinking
Carson's
Aaron Lennon as well.
Right.
Fuck.
Next question. Players who scored a Premier League hat-trick this season. Now, Ben, you're on the lowest score so far, so I'll let you go first again. There is a single pointless answer for this.
Wasn't there a week where, like, loads of them were scored?
There was, yeah, I think. Right, towards
it's
the start of the season.
Which one is the pointless answer? Because I've got a lot that could be in there.
Evan Ferguson.
Evan Ferguson is a correct answer. And the score is going down all the way to 5.
Ooh, okay.
I've got a choice of 2.
Go on.
I'm going to go with Elijah Adebayo.
Elijah Adebayo is a correct answer.
Ooh,
and the score is going down all the way to 7.
Ooh!
What? Matheus Cunha was my other answer.
Well, I have Matheus Cunha down as 20. I feel like he scored a decent amount of goals this season. The pointless answer was Eddie Nketiah.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Oh, yeah. Good shout.
Right.
What fucking game was that?
Sheffield United.
Oh, yeah.
Right, the next one, and Harry, I'll let you go
first. I like
first,
this, you know.
Just
I can hear the thing ticking down.
There, I have actually found a sound effect for that, so people will be able to hear that in the episode.
Superb.
Harry, I'll let you go next for the first one, just to make it somewhat fair. UEFA Cup or Europa League winners since the year 2000? 3 pointless
since
answers
the year
for this
2000.
One. Yeah.
Not Conference League.
No, but... UEFA Cup or Europa League.
So that's not the Conference League.
Yes, because I've just said UEFA Cup and Europa League. Fuckhead. What were you going to say, West Ham? Please say Sevilla. That'd be funny as fuck.
I will go I'll have Eintracht Frankfurt.
Eintracht Frankfurt is a correct answer. And the score is going down to 18.
Not the best, not the worst.
Ben, have you got an answer for us that is lower than 18 or even a pointless answer?
Oh, fuck.
See, I was going to say Eintracht Frankfurt. I'm going to say... I think it was the Europa League that Shakhtar won. I'm going for the banter, lads.
Shakhtar is a correct answer.
Donetsk.
And it's going all the way down to 20.
Ooh.
Dan.
That's fair.
Was CSKA Moscow the pointless answer?
Of the 3 pointless answers, you could have had Feyenoord, Galatasaray, Dan. And CSKA Moscow.
Fuck's sake, I remembered them after I said Frankfurt.
Oh, no.
How many did Eintracht Frankfurt school?
18, so you got 2 more on that one.
This has been close.
Yeah, it is close. Right, question number 4. I'd like you to name a club that Robbie Keane played for.
Oh, there's so many.
Harry,
there's
you
so
go first.
Many. Oh, But what's going to be pointless?
There's only one pointless answer.
I'll take Inter Milan.
Inter Milan is a correct answer, and the score is going down to 24.
Ooh.
Ben, have you got a better answer than 24 with Inter Milan?
I've got one. I have no idea how big it's going to be. But I'm basically trying to think not Spurs. But I'm going to say Leeds.
Leeds is a correct answer. Going all the way down to 32.
Ooh. Didn't he play for Villa?
The lowest scoring answers, Aston Villa with 8. West Ham with 7. Celtic with 4, and an Indian team called ATK, which was a pointless answer.
Oh, you know what? If you'd got the Indian team, Harry, I'd have just conceded.
Do you know he's now the manager of Maccabi Tel Aviv?
Is he really?
Yeah.
I'll be getting out of there ASAP. Right, the final question. 3 pointless answers for this one. Players who have played for both Real Madrid and Barcelona since 1990. Ben, you can go first.
Since 1990. I'm trying to think. It's this, like, the pointless bit. It gets in your head. Because I'm like, oh yeah, nah. This will be fine.
Have you got an answer for us?
I'm going to say Javier Saviola.
Javier Saviola is a correct answer. And the score is going all the way down to 16.
Ooh.
One of the better answers.
You'd be like, it's going all the way down to 60. I'm like, oh, fuck.
No, one of the better answers to that question. Harry, who have you got? Can you beat 16? You might need a pointless answer here.
I don't know if he's after 1990. I'll just go with Samuel Eto'o.
Samuel Eto'o is a correct answer. Score goes down to 29.
Ooh,
not great.
I was going to say
Georgie Hadji would have scored you 10.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. You could have also had Robert Prosnicki with 6, the new West Ham boss, Julian Lopetegui with 2, and then your 3 pointless answers were blokes you're never going to have heard of. Danny Garcia, Miguel Soler, and Alfonso Perez.
So basically, if you guessed a really Spanish name.
Yeah, Luis Figo was obviously the highest scoring player you could have got, followed by the original Ronaldo. Well, I'll quickly total up the scores.
Mate, this is like penalties.
Ooh,
this. I'm so tense.
Oh, it's close. It's close. It's close.
Fuck.
Harry.
Philip. We're waiting for VAR to make a decision.
Harry, you scored 18, 7, 18, 24, and 29, which gave you a total of 96. Ben, you had 10, 5, which was the lowest answer we had, 20, 32, and 16. So you finished as our winner on 83. Congratulations.
Ooh.
Well played.
Yeah, well played, mate. That was a good quiz, that. I enjoyed it.
We'll do that again. We'll do that again soon. Well, that was another episode of the Streets Won't Forget podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. If you haven't already, please give us a follow and a 5-star rating on Spotify. It really helps us out. You can also follow us on all the social links. They'll be in the podcast description at the bottom. And boys, thank you very much for joining me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure as always. You're stealing my phrase now, Dan.
Yeah. Have a good weekend, mate.
Always a pleasure.
And if you've got anything you'd like to tell us as well, you can email us. It is thestreetswontforgetpodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.
Gira can hit them. Did! Oh, what a goal by Zoltan Gira! And still Baptista, yes! It's Cavani.
in front. David Villa, great finish.
He's done just that. He scored. Janinho's done it.
Yakubu making another glimpse of goal.